Welcome back to Shakedown Shan. Hope you guys have had a nice week or so. We now officially have snow on the ground. It's here to stay. It is winter time. And my crazy self decided, oh, perfect time for a hike. Guess who went hiking yesterday? So Rothbard, this is his first winter, and we kicked it off with a very difficult hike. We went to like over near Spire Falls, and I never knew that this trail was here. There's this like 8 mile like all together, so like 4 out and 4 back trail that goes along the mountain next to the road that goes along Spire Falls.
Mm-hmm.
In the Hudson, and so I found it online. I just typed in like trails near me, hiking near me or something, and was just searching on the map, and I was like, oh, this looks really cool, the view looks really nice. And so I was reading reviews, and it was like, oh, so it's not that bad, just pay attention to the trail markers, you can get lost pretty easy if you're not paying attention. And everyone's like, oh, it took like an hour and a half to 2 hours, and it sounded really easy. I know a lot of people rated it hard, but the way they were describing it sounded easy. And so we take off. No idea what we're getting into because I've never done this
trail before.
I've never done that one before. And it seems pretty nice. It's pretty easy so far. And all of a sudden we see this really like steep incline that we can't see the end of. It just keeps going on and on and on. And we finally get up that, and we see a guy up there, and he was like, yeah, he's like, well, about 3 more miles out, that we must have been a mile in at that point. He's like, about 3 more miles out, there's, or 2 more, there's a really nice view. It opens up, and it's really, really beautiful. He showed us a picture, but he's like, but the actual overlook is another mile past that.
Oh my goodness.
So we started at 12:30. We figured, okay, well, we have to be back to the car by 4:30 because the sunlight, it starts getting dark around 4:45, between there and 5. And so we're like, we have to be back to the car by 4:30. So let's just do 2 hours out, 2 hours back. That'll be perfect. So we didn't get to go all the way to the overlook, but it took us the whole 2 hours just to get to that one opening. And the view was incredible. I'm sure the overlook would have been too, but we just, time restraints
couldn't
do it.
Probably have to do that in the spring or summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. We crossed a lot of streams, a lot of them that had rocks that we had to cross.
Right.
And at one point, one of them was like really, really deep, and Rothbard just wasn't paying attention because all the other ones had been like super, super shallow. He could just walk through. This one was really deep, so he just jumps off the rock and goes in it. He's like up to here.
Oh boy.
Like
up to his
shoulder
neck.
High in water. And the funniest part is he just sat there and looked at us. And we're like, what are you doing? Get out.
Does he like to swim?
He didn't used to like the water, but he's kind of used to it now. And I think that made him even more used to it.
Our dog, you know, that passed away last New Year's, we had to put her down. She loved swimming. She could swim. I mean, you put her in a lake, she'd go way out, and then you call her, and she'd swim back. And it was a riot. The dog we have now won't even put her paw in water.
I mean, some dogs don't like it.
I guess.
And other dogs just love it. I think Rothbard will love it. He wasn't too keen on it this summer. When we brought him to Stewart's Pond and put him in the water, he wasn't really caring.
Does Rothbard like to watch TV?
I'm not really sure.
We got a real weird dog. If there's horses or animals on TV, she'll sit in front of the TV and watch them.
Oh, no. Rothbard would bark. He would definitely
she
bark.
She doesn't bark. She sits there and watches them, gets right up in front of the TV. And then last night we were watching a movie. And Haunting of Hill House, it's a series on Netflix. And there's these dogs barking at night, all right, but they don't have any dogs. So the dogs were barking. She gets up and looks at TV, can't see any dogs, goes running around the house looking for dogs, we had to let her out. I mean, she thought there were dogs around the house or inside or something.
That's funny.
Weird, I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, Rothbard would just bark at them. Every time we drive by the horses, he barks.
Really?
It's annoying. Like right in my ear, beagle bark.
Have you ever gotten him out with a horse before? I mean...
Well, no, but even, I mean, he just barks when he sees things. He just likes
because she did, but until my wife takes her up to the Skidmore Woods a lot, and they have horses on the trails there that... They walk them on the trail or mm-hmm. ride them on the trails up there. So but she just, a guy stopped his horse and he had her come up. And yeah, of course, she sniffs the horse. I mean, it's so big, you can't do anything. But after that, she loves horses. I mean.
Yeah, Rothbard rocks at or barks at rocks. So.
Okay. All right.
Like that pile of rocks that
Say
I told
no
you
more.
About.
Yes.
He barked at another rock yesterday on the hike. And he started, like, growling and, like, getting defensive. And we're, like, looking around. We're like, oh, what do you see? What do you see? And he gets closer to the rock, just like last time. He's barking at the rock.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. But anyway, he seemed to like the trail, too. It's fun. He gets to run loose and everything.
That's nice.
He loves it.
How was the weather?
Windy.
Windy. Yeah.
Extremely windy. It was incredible just how much the wind picks up in the mountain.
Yeah.
On the top and everything, and it's how loud it is. It's a lot different than down on the ground.
Oh, I can imagine. But I'll tell you, Saturday, I mean, it was really bad. And then last night, I couldn't get to sleep. It was blowing so hard.
Oh, yeah. The wind was rough.
Terrible.
And, but so the people that were saying you easily get lost were definitely right, because the trail, it would like be going, and if you're paying attention to the trail markers, you look around and you're like, I don't see any, and then you would see one like over here behind you, like the trail would just go and then go like boop that way,
and you don't see it.
So if you weren't paying attention, you could easily just keep walking straight. But
and then you wouldn't know where you were,
right? And so anyone who does that trail definitely has to like keep their eye out for each next trail marker to stay on the path. It was crazy. It would like go up a mountain and like down into a little valley, cross a stream, and then go up the mountain and around and down across a stream. It was just like that the whole time.
Wow.
And then there were some pretty steep parts. There was some rock climbing you had to do, and it was not what I thought I was getting myself into.
Right. Well, it's something new that you can explore later on.
Yeah, definitely when it's warmer.
I told you before the show I was up in your neck of the woods driving the bus the other day. And boy, I tell you, that is such a pretty area. It really is. And I told you how many motels that we saw and tennis I don't know, there was horse riding and tennis courts. They were back in.
Mm-hmm.
And all the different things that
and
people can do. The cabins and you were saying how busy it is in the summer.
And then it's dead in the winter unless we get a good snowfall. Because the snowmobile trails run behind those restaurants.
Okay.
And so if we get really good snowfall, they can do a lot of business in the winter too.
Okay.
Because I've seen it at the Longhorn before. I pulled in for dinner one time. In the amount of snowmobiles parked there and like up on the snow mounds, they park there. It's filled with snowmobiles.
Now, are the motels open too in the winter?
I'm not really sure. I don't think so.
No.
A lot of people are only open for the summer because it's not worth it to be open for the winter.
Right.
The Longhorn is just so well established that they can survive the winter.
Sure.
And they do get a lot of the snowmobiling business.
Well, I told you, we're going to go up, I think, and drive around in the summer because that was absolutely gorgeous up
there.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And so much to do. I mean, once you get up there, I think anybody that either vacations up there or goes, you know, for a week or whatever, they will not run out of things to do.
Oh, no.
And you would think that, oh, what's up there?
Yeah.
You know?
What's in Hadley?
What's in Hadley? But I got to tell you, anybody listening, if you want to go someplace beautiful and, you know, out in the country, that's the place to go.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yes. Just don't drive like a jerk.
No,
I hate that in tourist season.
You can't. And even in the winter or off year, I mean, the roads are windy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that it's typical country. And yeah. you got to take your time. You can't be in a hurry. No reason to be in a hurry driving up through there.
No.
Too much to see.
And speaking of city people visiting and everything like that, guess who determined our midterm election yet again? New York City.
Yeah.
In Long Island. It's crazy. If you look at the map, the result, it's like all red for all of like New York, not the island. And maybe like one or two. I think there was like one blue county and one other county.
Well, they out of 63 counties, Cuomo lost 57 of them.
Right. And so, and the whole island is blue.
Yeah.
And so it's just Cuomo won, obviously. Larry Sharp made history for New York. He got ballot access mm-hmm. for the Libertarian Party, which is a huge battle to win because next time we don't have to waste time trying to get signatures
right.
to try to get on the ballot. It can be spent more on campaigning and getting out there. We were disappointed with the amount of votes he got, though, because the whole campaign, like just the number of people he had behind him, what it was a lot more.
Yeah.
And then so you really see how many people didn't actually come out to vote.
We, right. And what are elections based on? Money.
Right.
I mean, when you've got people dropping $8-10 million at a time into, I mean, Cuomo's campaign, you know, he probably raised $600-700 million. No one else. I mean, it's very hard to do. And gosh, I tell you, I just can't believe that. On Facebook, I have a friend who's from Long Island, but he's lived up here. And one of my other friends said, you know, it's terrible that people up north can't have any effect.
No, we get absolutely no say.
So the other guy said, well, acreage doesn't vote. People vote. Well, when you have half of the state or more living in maybe five counties or four counties downstate and one county out in the west that is, you know, I forget what county it is, but that votes Democrat, and you're talking about millions of votes, not thousands. It's hard for anybody to win other than a Democrat. It really right. is.
So he got, like, we'll just round up. It was like 3,900,000, something like that. So Cuomo got 4 million votes. And so Larry Sharp almost hit 100,000. Mm-hmm. Molinaro was just a little over that or something, or it was 1 million. I don't remember.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But either way, the amount of people that voted, I think came out to like just over 4 million. So if you look at the population of New York, about 8 million live in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Just the city alone.
Just the city alone.
And so then think about it. What was our... I had the number of our population.
I think it was 22 million, I think, New York State.
I can't remember.
And
but
half
I know,
of that lives Westchester, South.
But I know that the voting population is 15.5. I forget what our total population is, but voting is what matters anyway. So the voting population is 15.5. Only about 4 million voted. And that's so sad because if people upstate really, really, really want to change things, they have to come out and vote. Not even all, like we just said, 8 million live in New York City. And the voting number is 15.5. So the math there is, and only 3 million voted out of the city. So, or we'll say 4. So about half of the city determines
right.
the fate
well,
of
8 million in New York City. Mm-hmm. The population of New York State is 19.8 million.
Yep.
So just in one city, you have almost half of the population of New York, and then you have Queens and Long Island, and there's more than half, a lot more than half of the city lives from Westchester County down south. So you know what I proposed? I wrote the governor, I emailed his office, which he'll probably never get to see. I said we should split New York State in two, from Westchester County south and then Westchester County north. And I got a reply from his office Secretary that said New York State or New York City is what carries all of New York State monetarily wise. So I sent him back and I says, well, you could put North New York and South New York, like the Carolinas and Dakotas. Mm-hmm. And I said, we keep our own tax money.
Yeah.
You don't get our tax money. I said, you already have the capitals set. I said, Cuomo's never been in Albany, where the capital's been. He's in New York City. So you can make New York City the capital of North or South New York. Mm-hmm. I said, and we've got things up in the northern part of the state that you need, so we would charge you for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we could survive.
Oh yeah,
well,
we
enough
could definitely survive
with
well
the tourism
enough,
the businesses we have up here.
If we didn't have all the, because we would definitely be red,
right,
or third party, and we would have less regulations, we would businesses would be able to thrive, and we wouldn't be under the control of city legislation. And we would do very well. And
sure,
I think it should be split up too. I just think that part of New York does not correctly
distribute.
Correctly like mirror what all of New York needs or wants. And it's just not. But so what I think is that though we definitely can make a change, obviously, based on the numbers. If you have 4 million voting for Cuomo, out of the 15.5 million that vote, that can vote, it's clear, just based on math, that if everyone got out to vote that's so upset with the system, you can make it change.
Sure.
But that's that people have to go out and vote against it. And nothing's going to change or happen for you if you're not going out to vote. This is just going to be a continuous cycle if everyone just stays in.
Well, look what happens in the big states like Florida with all the problems they have. I think they only had like 24% people voting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Democrats are so intent on eliminating the Electoral College. But five states would determine the big elections.
Oh yeah,
because they would all skip the mid-Atlantic or Midwest states in the middle of the country. They wouldn't have to campaign in them because they know it wouldn't matter.
Right, they would go to New York, Texas, Florida, California,
Ohio. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah,
and that they would determine the election.
I know somebody on Facebook was suggesting an electoral college for New York for these kinds of races because of what's happening. And I mean, I'm not for more government.
Well, that wouldn't be more government, though. That would be, I mean, the electoral college is a fair system that gives minority states like the small states, Rhode Island and Delaware and, you know, a lot of the small states, Iowa, a chance for representation, where if you did away with that, they wouldn't be represented.
Right. So, but then it's up to the people to get who actually represents them in there. And then that adds for more room for more corruption. And so I'm not really sure what the answer is, but I think the best answer would be to split New York.
Yeah,
I'm for that.
I do too.
I'm all for that. Split California, split New York. Like in California, you've got areas that just completely disagree with the politics of another area. And it's crazy that you have such a huge state and it's always going one way, leaning one way politically, and then nobody's happy. And so, I don't know. So something that I got thrown at me was right before the election was a vote for Larry Sharp is a vote for Andrew Cuomo. And so I'm going to tear that apart a little bit. So first of all, just like in its literal sense, a vote for Larry Sharp is a vote for Larry Sharp. Like literally, that's what it is. It is one vote for him. I did not cast one vote for Andrew Cuomo.
Right.
So literally, it means exactly what it says. So if you look into it, a vote for a third party candidate or even a Republican that doesn't stand a chance is, I mean, you have every right to think it's wasted, but using the argument that that's another vote for whoever is not true, because if you got everybody to vote their conscience instead of just telling them that it's a wasted vote, it doesn't go to them, it goes to the person they don't want to win. If everybody started voting their conscience, they, we would be able to see how discontented we are with our system and the people running it. And we can see where people are leaning more. And when you start seeing big numbers of people voting outside of the two-party system, that might spark some ideas and get more people out there. I mean, this is the biggest movement for libertarians in New York. And the fact that we have ballot access is historical. And that's what, so a vote for Larry Sharp was not just for Larry Sharp. It was for different ideas. It was to show how fed up we are with the system New York has. Mm-hmm. And it was to get things moving. We got ballot access. That's another win. We just, now the steam's rolling. Now people just got to keep it going. And it just, I don't agree with that statement.
Sure, no, because you could have turned that around and said, no, a vote for Larry Sharp is a vote against Mario Cuomo.
Yeah.
Or Andrew Cuomo. And I mean, you know, it's not for him. It's against him.
Right.
So, I mean, it's, you know, like you said, look at all the good of it that it did.
Definitely. I know lots of states got ballot access for libertarians all across the country with this election. It was a huge win for third parties, this election, even if they didn't actually win. I mean, they're still making progress, and that's what counts the most.
And we need a new party in this country. We need a third party.
Yes, yeah.
You got to have an alternative for the two that we have now.
Yeah, because they're not doing the job.
They're clearly not working, no.
We need something different. And so I don't know how your ballot looked, but mine was just, I was so fed up with it. Okay, so it had Cuomo, Molinaro, mm-hmm. Cuomo, Molinaro, all the way down the line for like every party. And then off to the side in a different column, but it was still like the governor's column. It took up two columns.
Right.
Off to the side, all the way at the bottom, is Larry Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, did yours look like that too?
I can't remember.
But it was really like upsetting to me looking at it. I was like, this shouldn't be allowed, that other parties are endorsing them to get them on the ballot multiple times.
Right.
Because people that don't know or haven't researched their people and they're just going in there and picking names are like, oh, well, this guy's on here 8 times.
Yeah.
He must be a good guy.
But now Libertarian will be up on the top 3, correct?
Yes.
Good.
Yep, it'll be up closer.
Good.
But I think a candidate should only be able to be endorsed and on the ballot in the party they're running in.
Yeah.
I mean, if the other people don't have someone running, they shouldn't be able to endorse them to put them.
Well, they can endorse them, let's say, in an editorial.
Right.
That the Working Families Party endorses Andrew Cuomo.
But when it comes to the ballot. Yeah, when it comes to the ballot, it should be just their name, the next person's name, and the next person's name, and what party that they're for.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about if you wanted to vote, but like I say, the Libertarian line already has, you want to make sure, though, too, that you're not blocking out a party that could be rated up there. You know what I mean? At some point, Because, I mean, a lot of those little parties have been around forever, but they never
They don't ever put anybody out. That's the thing. And
see, maybe you're right. You have to put somebody up for election.
To be on the
ballot. To be on the ballot. Yeah, you're just right. I agree with that. Now it's I'm just grasping what you said.
Right, because I know that, say, you see Andrew Cuomo in, like, the Green Party or whatever he was in.
Mm-hmm.
If you pick his name there, that's a vote that goes towards the Green Party, technically. Right. Still Cuomo, but they're seeing that it comes from there, and that determines their spot on the ballot. But, I mean, if you're never putting anyone out, why are you there to begin with?
Right. Well, that's
put somebody out, and you'll come back on.
Exactly. That's like in Saratoga. We have what they call, now, I'm an independent, mm-hmm. all right? So I'm listed as a no party. They also have a party called the Independence Party.
Yep.
Okay. The Independence Party never puts anyone up for office. They only, endorse candidates. Why should they be allowed to be on the ballot? I mean, like the Conservative Party has ballot access, but they put, I mean, a lot of times they'll endorse a candidate, but a lot of times they'll put a candidate up that's a conservative and is on the line. But this Independence Party never, ever has anyone on the ballot. They just back someone and that's it. Endorse them and that's it. They shouldn't even be on there.
No. I mean, if you don't have someone running, you're just not on there because you're not an option right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you had somebody running, you would be an option. But it was, I was lucky enough that when I got to the polling station, the person that gave me the ballot said, I want you to notice that this column here is also for governor and that there is a name down here so you don't miss it.
Really?
I think secretly they were a Larry Sharp supporter. I know a lot of people didn't notice it. I work with a lady who wanted to vote Larry Sharp, and she came in, she goes, Shannon, I just didn't see it.
Really?
I couldn't find him anywhere. And I mean, look hard enough. Obviously, like, read everything, but
people don't.
Again, people don't, and it wasn't right where you would think it would be. So it's disappointing. He may have lost some votes because of that.
People look at the top two lines.
Yeah.
That's how they don't go down the ballot.
Right.
And, and then you got the nuts that just click, 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 all the top
all
line,
the way across.
Or click, click, all across the second line.
Yep.
I mean, that's terrible.
Another thing that happened during the midterms is that our Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez won. I mean, she was pretty much uncontested, but so she was going to win anyway. But so I know it's absolutely insane that she's there because of how idiotic her ideas are. 'Cause they just don't make any kind of sense.
No, and she couldn't even make any sense when she was talking about him.
No.
She didn't understand what she was talking about.
She doesn't understand it. She doesn't understand economics. She's like, we'll just pay for it.
Well, did you hear her first complaint?
No.
She can't afford to live in Washington, D.C. because everything's too expensive.
Uh-huh.
So, hey, too bad. When do you run for office then? I mean, a lot of these Congress people, a lot of them are very rich. A lot of them aren't. And, I mean, when you hear some of them talk, they sleep on the couch in their offices because they can't pay. I mean, I can imagine what...
Washington, D.C. is expensive.
Excuse me. It is. And I can imagine her sleeping in her office like freshman Congress people do.
Right.
I mean, come on. What are you complaining about? This is what you want.
Yeah, this is what you wanted to do.
The rest of the country, you want to be like this, give up all your money and sleep on the floor
right.
if you have to because you won't have any money to buy a bed.
Right.
So sleep on the couch. I mean, but that was her first complaint, like 2 days after the election. Who wants to hear it, you know?
Right. And so what I think is going to happen is I think that she's just going to be so outrageous with her ideas mm-hmm. that the Democrats are just going to basically like shut her down every single yeah. time because they don't even want her
no.
representing Democratic issues.
Well, look at, they don't even really stand behind Bernie Sanders. So I think the two of them will probably be a duo. And, you know, nobody listens to him.
Oh, no. He's crazy, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, does she really pose a threat? Probably not. The biggest concern I have is that she's reaching out to all the younger generation mm-hmm. and giving them these ideas and everything. And that, I think that's a bigger threat than her being in office.
Right.
Because she won that position with all the kids that don't vote and all the younger generation. That's how she got there. And yes, it is amazing that she is the youngest woman in state, but that doesn't mean you should vote for her because of that reason.
Right.
That's like saying, I'm going to vote for Hillary Clinton so we can have the first woman president. That's stupid.
It is. It really is. I mean, I believe we should have a woman as president.
Yeah, but she was not it.
No, she wasn't it at all.
She's not her.
No.
So a lot of interesting things came out of this midterm election. Was there anything? Oh, the House and the Senate. I believe the Democrats took what? The House?
The House. Yeah.
But they did not take the Senate.
No.
And that's interesting because usually when you have a huge change of president, the next midterm, mm-hmm. the House completely changes over, mm-hmm. or that the House and the Senate completely change over. Now we have the House blue, Senate red. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great thing.
I do too.
Because I don't want it all red. I don't want it all blue. Why? Because when it's half and half of them, they don't get anything done.
Right.
I mean, they don't get anything done in the first place.
But right. I mean, it was all Republican.
Nothing's going to pass. And that's like the best thing government can do is nothing, because when they start doing things, it's bad.
It is. Well, look at what happened. Now, they say they want to work together, okay?
Right.
President Trump just signed an executive order that these immigrants that are coming up, making the walk and everything, they'll be allowed to have their cases heard for asylum if they come through one of the three points of entry that are legal. Any of the illegal ones that come in illegally will be sent back
like
to Mexico.
Not at a point of entry.
Right. Not right. at a point of entry that go over the river or climb over the fence or whatever. They're going to be sent back to Mexico.
Right. Come in, do it the right way.
Well, the Democrats filed a lawsuit Friday to block his decision. All right. Now, they say they're not for open borders, but gee whiz, what does that sound like? An open border policy.
Right.
So they're not, you know, they don't want to have them come in legally. They want them to come in illegally. And what we saw in Florida was that this nut down there, that's the commissioner of the board, they found ballots that were used by illegal aliens. They voted.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised. I can't remember if I was ID'd at my... I don't think I was ID'd the last time I voted either.
Really?
I had not ID'd when I vote. And I would think... I mean, they ID you for everything. They ID you for alcohol. They ID you to get into a comedy show.
Cigarettes.
They ID you for so many things. But when it comes to voting, it's like they don't care.
Right. I mean, you can be 80 years old and buy a six-pack of beer, and they need your ID. I mean... Come on, a guy that's hunched over with gray hair and he looks like he's 120 and you still have to ID him.
Yeah, but when it comes to determining how our country's run, they don't care. And it's just mind-blowing.
What do they call that? It's the Democrats have a word for that, that it's not constitutional.
To ID at voting?
ID at voting, that... profiling or something like that. That's the only reason you're doing it. But I don't buy it. I think anybody that votes should have an ID, no matter how old you are. because they were finding people that were voting that were on the register. You know, when you go in and sign your name, that didn't sign their name.
Mm-hmm.
So how could you verify that they were registered?
Right. I mean, so I guess they do have a form of IDing with the registry kind of thing, but still.
But I could go in and say,
you
hi.
Could say you're somebody else.
Right.
Yeah. And someone that you find out who doesn't vote in the area, go in and say you're them. It's as simple as that. And, I mean, it's extremely, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to it is. I think IDing at voting, if we're going to have to be ID'd for everything anyway, why not voting too? If that's going to stop getting not citizens
mm-hmm.
out of our elections. Because that's what Democrats want, is they want these people that are not
registered
United States citizens.
Not citizens,
because right. they're going to vote Democratic.
That's right. The more you vote Democrat, they want to
be
in there
be
because
it.
That's their gravy train.
Mm-hmm.
And but the way our elections are going and everything's being challenged because, you know, a lot of elections were challenged this year. ID would be the way to go because then you
rather than the registry.
Well, even then do the registry, but have an ID. Right. They can compare your signature. All right. Because they have when you go in, they have your signature from last time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, let's say I go in to vote for you and, you know, I copy your name and it's not anywhere near what it looked like when I voted last time. But they can check your ID and, mm-hmm. you know, and people say, yeah, they can have false IDs. But I don't buy that. I mean, you can get a false ID, but you'd probably have to have proof when you get the ID so they can mark it in a special way.
Right.
Like my driver's license now. I don't know if you have a new driver's license.
The one with the see-through picture, the hologram.
Yeah, and if you turn it on the back, you still see the picture. And then there's another little picture of you up on the top. And, I mean, that you can't forge those things.
I don't know.
I think that's why they did it that way.
Well, yeah. Did you also hear about Trump suggesting he might repeal the blanket ban on marijuana?
No.
Yeah, he said he would consider it. He's not acting on it yet, but
right.
he goes, with this election that we just had, a whole bunch of states just decriminalized
right.
legalized
marijuana. It?
Yeah, legalized it. It's no longer criminalized in that state, but we still have the federal ban. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this is a very, very good card for Trump, and I think he's gonna save it for re-election because he's starting to talk about it now. And you know, we have his election will be coming up soon, and he's gonna need something that people are for to throw out there.
But, you know, when you look at him, and I know a lot of people don't like him. They can't stand him because Hillary didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
But he wants the states to be more responsible for its citizens.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a way, I can see that because then it's up to the individual state
mm-hmm.
rather than the federal government. And
right.
if money needs to be spent, the states can spend it on whatever they want.
Right. And then even in the state itself, the state doesn't have to do, if the state wants to have it legalized, a county can decide not to.
Right.
I mean, we have dry counties where you can't sell alcohol. There's mm-hmm. still dry counties. I think Argyle
is
a
dry
county.
Yes, I just found that out this week. We were talking about that at work, and I couldn't believe it.
Yes.
But there's still dry counties
in Texas, too. down south, you'll find a bunch of them.
Cape Cod. Where did we go on our honeymoon? Oh, it was in New Jersey, all the way down to the bottom. I can't think of it now. Famous.
Long Island?
No. The bottom of New Jersey. It's two. There's north, south, and the north part was dry. The whole area, And I mean, you're talking about, I mean, very well-known tourist places. And I mean, I couldn't believe it when I went down there that there's still dry counties. But now that, you know, since then, I mean, this was 30 some years ago, but you hear about these places and you're, and so like you say, it's up to them.
I feel like it should be up to the, either the county or a local community or something, because the more localized it is, the better it is, because that represents correctly the people living exactly. in that area, rather than a huge state trying to govern
right.
all these different areas.
Wildwood was where we went.
Wildwood.
Wildwood. So go ahead. I had to get that out.
But I think it would be, obviously, I think it's a great idea, but I do think that he is going to use that as a card for re-election. He's going to try to put that through or start running on that. And he's smart because he saw all these states in the country just decide to legalize it. And he knows mm-hmm. how the people feel. He knows that it's not, it shouldn't be illegal, and that we can make more money
right
that way.
And also a state can't mandate you to have it legal. Like you say, if a county doesn't want it, or a town or village, they can just pass a law.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's no problem.
Yeah, it would definitely be a great idea. I just definitely know how he's going to use it. I already see it. I know that that's going
that's
to
okay.
be... That's fine with me.
I mean, that's okay if he wants to use it like that. I mean, he's already pushing for the states to do more themselves, the federal government. He's for smaller government. And when you're for smaller government on a federal level, that means the state should make their own decisions, spend their own money on mm-hmm. things. But
it would be big. It'd be really, really big for our country.
Get a lot of
Canada
younger people.
Canada ended the ban.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Big news. Big news.
See, if he's smart though, he wouldn't wait. He would do it now, because the Democrats are in charge of the Congress.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if you get that Ocasio girl to propose that, an amendment like that? I would want it to come from him. So I would, you know, I would do that now and say, you know, I've seen the elections, and I'm going to lift the ban, because I think the individual states are voting the way they want to,
mm-hmm.
and knowing that a county
this
can
is
be
the
exempted.
Way they're going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I saw that and I was pretty excited about that, because it's just super smart. It's a good move. But as far as re-election comes, I mean, I didn't vote for Trump in the first place. I'm not going to vote for him again. Or I'm not going to vote for him when he runs again. I didn't vote for him the first time. I'll definitely vote third party. That's mm-hmm. what I do. But so I'm interested to see who's going to run.
For the Democrats?
No, for just the next election.
Oh, okay.
I'm interested to see who's going to run. I know there's a lot of talk about celebrities running and everything.
Okay.
I just want to keep Hollywood out of it. But, I mean, that's the way our country's going. We're starting to throw people in there that aren't establishment, because we're so fed up. But the thing is, we need to get people that can handle it and know what they're doing run for third parties and stuff, because we have to stop throwing in people into the Democrat and Republican race and start throwing them into third party races and tell people, listen, we know you don't want establishment, and that's why you're voting for people like Trump,
mm-hmm.
but third party is actually the way to go. Not people that aren't, I mean, yes, you want people that aren't establishment, but you know what I mean? You don't want like Kanye West in there or anything
oh, no.
like that.
Or Oprah Winfrey.
Right. Or Oprah.
Or George Clooney.
We got to get people to see that it's not just random people. We can't just have random people, but start looking at third parties. That's
exactly.
what we got to get people to look at, because a lot of people think third parties are just wasted. I said with the New York election.
But I think, you know, it's not going to happen overnight.
No.
But as long as you gain every election,
mm-hmm.
it'll get there. You know, I mean, because people are getting fed up. And I look at 100% of the precincts are have voted in Georgia, and the Republican won by 60,000 votes. All right, and they're the Democrat won't concede, but she's the one that Oprah Winfrey went in and got all this money for, and she went in and stumped for like the last week or so. Mm-hmm. So obviously, it didn't make her overwhelmingly a favorite. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just think these celebrities ought to pretend and make movies and and let real people or, you know, just run for office.
Right.
I mean,
like, I don't want Kanye West running my country.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh, no.
I shared a, this is a side note, but I shared a meme the other day about how it said, what was it? I don't remember what it said, but it was something about terrorism and terror, and it was like, war is terror, and it showed the Middle Eastern countries like demolished because mm-hmm. what we've been doing over there. And I shared that, and somebody commented on there saying that I was wrong, and oh, you don't think that or you think that's what we're doing, is that we're terrorizing their country, you're completely wrong, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and they were like, but what about the people that they've killed here? And I was like, wait. So the answer, he was saying, oh, but you're going to let them suffer over there and be killed and be raped and everything by the people in the country and their government. I'm like, well, so the answer is to go over and bomb them to oblivion, obviously. And he goes, who even says that that's what we're doing? And I'm like,
watch the news.
But not even just watch the news, go read about it. It's crazy, the whole thing with Yemen, mm-hmm. and how we're backing people that are just destroying this country.
Yep.
And I mean, we've killed more people than they would ever think about. Okay, and we're killing innocent civilians and children. And
the thing,
so,
how I feel about that is, if a country like the Middle East, I mean, they've been fighting for tens of thousands of years with themselves. You're not going to go over there and stop anything.
No, we're not.
So, and it's like this illegal immigration thing. Just because people have a tough time in their own country, they think
we're not
tens and tens of thousands.
Saviors of the world.
Right.
And going to war in a different country is only going to make it worse.
Right. Hey, we did it. Like, I mean, we fought for ourselves to get out of England's hold. Let them raise up and fight. Oh, wait, they don't have any guns. That's right. The bad people took all the guns away from them.
Yes. And so it's crazy to me that people think the answer to ending violence in a country is to go in with more violence. You're killing more people and children and everything than that would have gotten killed. Mm-hmm. And you're just making it worse. You're making them hate us. And then they're going to start that. That's exactly why we have terrorism on our country, because we're meddling in places we don't belong. Mm-hmm. We always do it. We saw it with Vietnam. It was absolutely ridiculous that we were over there. But, I mean, if people really care about the people in these countries, what they need to do is go help them, not start a war over there. Just go help them. If you're so passionate and care about them being killed and raped and kidnapped and everything, start a nonprofit or something, get donations instead of spending money on war and killing more people. Get donations and go help.
Well, I think there are organizations that do that. And I know Billy Graham, or Franklin Graham, you know, Billy Graham's son, has that huge, I forget what it's called, organization that goes in like to Haiti and other countries and, you know, bring staples with them, food supplies,
there definitely are, but
education.
Think about how much more there could be.
Right. But if they don't want us to be there, then leave. We don't have to stay and fight. Just leave.
Right.
If they don't want us to come in, like you say, and bring, help the people out, because that's not usually these countries have 10 or 15 people that are controlling the whole country because they're taking all the money and mm-hmm. the people are living without anything.
Yep.
I mean, you're never going to stop that because then there'll be 10 other people that come behind right. them.
It's going to have to be citizens
that's right.
stopping it.
So you can help the people.
Right.
Yeah.
So somehow you have to, you got to let things run their course sometimes.
I always say the best way to fight a war is to get the leaders of the two countries, give them each a gun, put them on a field, you know, like hiking where you went the other day. And whatever one walks out, that's the country that won the war. I mean, let the people that make those decisions fight the war. Why should...
Yeah, war is never... It never, ever, ever has war been like the leaders
right.
fighting. I mean, well, we got the Revolutionary War. You got George Washington fighting and everything.
Well, that was the beginning of the country. And, yeah. and the people revolted against England. I mean, we didn't have to call France. And I mean, they ended up helping us. But we didn't call them over to, you know, win the war for us. The people did it.
Right. And so, I don't know. It just... Yeah, war is not the answer. War is terrorism.
Yep.
But how can we be fighting a war on terror? That's what it said. How can we be fighting war on terror when war is terror? Mm-hmm. That's what it said. So I thought of it. Yeah,
just like Wildwood. It's out there. You just got to kind of like fish it in, you know?
Yeah.
No, you're right, though. I imagine what the world would be like without war.
I mean, yeah, it's crazy. I mean, we've already seen that war doesn't work. They had the Crusades. It was 1,000 years long. And that trying to force Christianity on people. Mm-hmm. That didn't work. It just created the conflicts that we have now.
Today.
The effects of the Crusades are still lasting today and being dealt with. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's all I had for today.
Oh, okay.
Really?
All right.
Besides the other thing I wanted to talk about was some random thing that happened in Queensbury, well, up in that area. This there is like a high speed car chase.
Really?
It was like Grand Theft Auto in real life.
Okay.
This person was fleeing a stop, like a road stop or something. Uh-huh. Like the boyfriend was driving or some guy was driving and like just got out of the car and started running. They ended up catching him, but the girl that was in the car got in the driver's seat and went across the median of the highway, was going the opposite direction of the oncoming traffic at like 90 miles an hour, fleeing the police at the stop.
See, she probably watches Cops or one of those shows and sees the people do that.
Yeah, she ended up ditching the car somewhere and the police found the car there and used canines and they followed her scent for a while, but then it stopped, so they think she hitchhiked and got a ride. Okay. And they ended up finding her heading to Vermont.
Wow.
Shortly after.
Was this during the day or at night?
During the day. It was a few days ago. It was the strangest thing.
It has to be because, I mean, that's wild. Hey, what do you think of those fires in California?
I haven't heard about them yet.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Boy,
I'm so disconnected unless go out and like search for myself.
There's been, it's the one in North California, one in South California, and it's the worst wildfires ever in California history. There's like...
They've just been devastated with fires.
They said that it's eating up 8 football fields a minute.
Wow.
I mean, when you think that's a lot. And I mean, they've got it only 20% under control. I mean, like Malibu, where all the actors and that live, I mean, that's pretty much like gone. There was a whole town called Paradise. And it's all destroyed. All the homes melted, all the cars. People were driving out in their cars, and it got so much, they got out because cars were melting. they got out and ran. You know, I mean, it's awful. If you just turn it on to the news and see, I mean, it's so sad.
Yeah, I don't have TV.
No?
No, I watch Hulu.
Okay.
Now and then. So, like, news and stuff, I don't really see, because unless I'm, like, online searching and everything.
Oh, yeah, you can see it online.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it's sad. It really is.
I haven't looked at anything since Friday.
Okay.
So, I don't know. But remember that Jamie Closs girl I was talking about?
Yeah.
She hasn't been found yet. Nothing.
Really?
Nothing has come up. Not even, like, a lead. Nothing at all. So sad. But anyway, I'll have to go home and look up the fires and see what's going on.
Yeah, because it's dreadful. I mean, when you read that, I know you're going to have something to say about that. But
yeah.
It is sad. I mean, and what the fire's doing, you know, they got these three-lane highways. So it's six. The fire's jumping the highways. It's, you know, I mean, this is how bad it is out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy.
Yep. But, the world is going nuts every way.
Yeah, I think we conclude like that all the time. Everything's crazy.
Well, this morning before I came over, President Trump's over in France, and he was just about to give a speech. But what they were talking about was he met with the president, French president, this morning. And the French president, in his speech at the wherever they live, you know, at the White House, the version of their White House, was saying that America motto is make America great. And he said that should not be. He said he should be thinking about the world. Why just make America great? What about France and Germany?
Well, we're not the police of the world.
Well, that's right.
The
announcer said we're not. He's not saying make the world great again. I mean, we helped so many countries out after wars, like World War II. I mean, we started Japan up with money. And
after we bombed them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, I mean, they were doing a lot of bad things to us, too.
Yeah.
But in any case, we do enough to help people out. And they don't want us to move further ahead. Our country, they want us to worry about them. So he says, you know what, maybe we'll start thinking more about that if you pay your money that you're supposed to like the United Nations and NATO. But he said, you know, we're subsidizing all your countries and supplying you with military
help
personnel. Yeah. He said, but I want to make my country good first. Our people need help, you know, our own people. And
the leader of France is not responsible for the world.
No,
shouldn't be.
So
nobody.
They were worrying about what Trump was gonna not worry, but they said, will he wait until he can tweet it on the way home, because he's leaving after a speech to come back? And they said, will he wait, you know, kind of like be nice to the French president in his speech, but then tweet the heck out of him when he gets on the plane. But really, I mean, I don't understand that logic. People, I mean, China, they stole our tech secrets, you know, and we didn't do anything. Well, the president's starting to impose sanctions on that. But I mean, what are we supposed to do? Just sit there and laugh, you know? I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah. I think I'm going to wrap it up there for the day, go home, read about some fires, and do some housework.
Not going to climb any mountains.
Nope, not today.
Okay.
See you next time.
See you next time.